Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You never know who you may meet or what kind of social situation you may find yourself in. You never want to miss out on an opportunity when it presents itself. And when it does, do you know what to say and what not to say? Well, tonight we're going to give you some tips on how to put your best face forward with an elevator pitch and other social situations. My guests are Fiona Crystal, founder and CEO of Digital-PR, and Jacqueline Baker, a modern etiquette expert. If you have a comment or a question, and I know you do with this topic, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Fiona, what is an elevator pitch?
An elevator pitch is a snapshot of your business, your service offering, or who you are.
Why do they call it elevator pitch?
Because honestly, you have about 15 seconds to make an impression on someone, and that can be about as long as an elevator ride.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay, so 15 seconds. So how do you introduce yourself, Jacqueline, to someone in 15 seconds if it may take you 5 seconds to say hi?
You need to skip past all of the things that people won't remember anyway. How long do you think the average adult attention span is? How long is your attention span? Let's start there.
So why, this is not about me.
Well, it could be. It could be.
My attention span is about an hour, as long as the Daily Drum is.
Really? That's really long.
That is really long.
That's really long.
Yeah, I have to pay attention.
Yeah, the average.
But most folks, it's not that way.
Yeah. How long do you think it is, Fiona, the average adult attention span?
Well, understanding millennials and just understanding that it's 2019 and technology, I would say about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's 7. The average adult attention span is 7 seconds. So if you waste all that time up front talking about stuff that people don't care or won't remember, then it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so really, for elevator pitches, I try and keep it simple. Something that's concise, something that's memorable, and something that's going to keep people interested in you in the future. And so you got to keep out all that pleasantry stuff that you think is important, but it's really not.
So, Fiona, how would you start an elevator pitch for the CEO of Widgets Incorporated, probably also known as Apple? Or he steps on the elevator and you are there. What do you say to him?
I would start out introducing myself. Giving an introduction of who I am, giving an introduction about my business, some of my wins for my business, and then the core mission and values of our business.
Okay, you want to give it a shot because that just took 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
But what do you say?
Okay. So I would say, hello, my name is Fiona, and I'm the founder and CEO of Digital-PR. It's an entertainment-based PR firm focusing on entrepreneurs in the film industry. I created the company to help entrepreneurs that have a story.
Stop. That's 15 seconds. So I cut you off. So, and I'm not being rude, but I think, you know, you said 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get that person's attention? Because again, in this kind of elevator pitch scenario, you walk in, some people say hello and then they turn around mm-hmm. and they face the numbers. So how do you sell yourself? Because most people would think, okay, she's talking to me. What do you want?
Right. Well, I would say body positioning would be important, making sure that you're in front of the door so that they can't turn their back towards you.
So she blocked the door.
Blocked the door in a really organic, natural way so that they can't face a different direction.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but that may work better for women than for men.
Oh, don't do it.
Yeah, don't
do
it.
You don't do it.
202-319-7810. We are talking about putting your best face forward with an elevator pitch in other social situations. If you have a question about an elevator pitch or other social situations that you may use to network, for example, we would certainly like to hear from you. Okay. Same thing, Jacqueline. What's your pitch?
Hey, I'm Jacqueline. I use modern etiquette, everyday leadership, and disruptive innovation to provide people with confidence to get to their next level.
So what do you want?
To work with you. I will say that my pitches are never, I never utilize cold situations to pitch. Usually I try in every possible situation to seed in advance.
So there, what do you mean by that?
When I say seed in advance, like let's take a networking event, for example. I think the biggest mistake that people make in networking events is that you go in with false expectations that you're going to meet 100 people and 100 people and you are going to call each other back and forth. Really, I make realistic goals, which is, all right, I'm going to probably meet with about 4 people. I'm going to give myself 25 minutes to get in and get out, and I maximize that time versus just going in, trying to pass out cards, collect cards, get frustrated, don't connect with people. But what I do in advance, when you asked about seating, is I've already scoped out who I want to talk to before I even walk in the room. And so the days of like just cold elevator pitches where you're just going to randomly run into Mark Zuckerberg at some networking events and he's going to change your life, those days are mostly done. You have to do some type of pre-seating to send a message on LinkedIn to ask, hey, are you going to be at this event? Well, I would love to connect with you in advance versus leaving it to chance when you get somewhere.
But see, I think that's my point, that it, you know, what is it? Prior planning prevents, mm-hmm. you know, piss poor,
yep.
Performance.
All those P's.
Right. All those P's. But should you not always prepare for the unexpected?
You should, but the unexpected is you having your pitch, another P, prepared, but also trying to eliminate the fact that there are going to be lots of people they're trying to get to, probably the same people you're trying to get to. So how can you seed in advance? Mm-hmm. The preparation is practicing your pitch, and it is, you know, making sure that your body language, you're not having your arms folded in the corner and things that like keep people away from you. But it is also very much preparing in advance for what you're about to walk into.
How do you know, Fiona, if you're pitch is weak?
I would say if it's too general, you should really know your target demographic or know the room you're walking into. I wouldn't pitch something that's going to be geared more towards people in the sports industry as opposed to walking into a film-related event. Mm-hmm. So really knowing your demographic.
Because this is why I ask, and I'm talking specifically, and I want to talk a little bit more about those social situations where you might be able to plan.
Mm-hmm.
But because this has happened to me, you know, earlier in my career, and you did, you know, allude to those days may be over. I disagree. I think that they can happen at any given time, because whether it's an elevator pitch or hallway pitch or pitch on the street, somebody is going to turn around and give you 30 seconds or 45 seconds, and they're going to ask you, why should I hire you?
I agree that, I don't disagree that there aren't going to be spontaneous opportunities on the street, but I think by preceding, you raise the percentage or you raise the chances of you being able to connect with the person you want to connect with. I'm not saying don't prepare, like preparation is key, but I think that it's possible that you will get a higher percentage of bites if you've already planted some seeds in advance.
Well, these are two different things. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you on that. But as I said in the beginning, it's also important for you to prepare for the unexpected.
Sure.
And to Jacqueline's point, I would say that preparing is very vital to creating a strong elevator pitch and moment with a CEO or executive of a company. However, you may not know that a CEO of CBS is going to be in the room. At that point, I would say that the smartest thing to do is to forge an authentic connection and create an authentic conversation.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about elevator pitches and other social situations as a way to network, advance your career, or sell yourself. Let's go to Jamal. Jamal calling from Northeast. Thanks for calling, Jamal. What's on your mind?
Yes. It's about catching the next person's attention, saying something that's interesting to them, and in the process they are contemplating, then you kind of sell yourself and get to know them and how their approach is or response is to what you're saying.
Thoughts?
Sure. Keep it even. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I would say keep it even killed. Don't take too left or too right of a stance on anything.
What do you mean by that?
Don't go to an extreme with an opinion on something if you're not sure where that person stands.
Should opinions be mentioned at all?
Depends on the situation. I think the thing that we haven't touched on here that probably we'll get to is different types of pitches, right? So there is purely the elevator pitch of, oh my gosh, I'm in the elevator with the VP of my company and I'm just trying to get a leg up. Or I have a pitch in front of a corporation and it's a totally different scenario. So I just think knowing your audience, if you're trying to eliminate the possibility of ticking somebody off, perhaps you're not going to opinions that are so polarizing, or maybe you do in order to really jazz things up. So I think it just depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Fiona.
Jamal, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Were you about to say something, Fiona?
I was going to say that, to your point, I agree that there are different pitches, and my pitch is never going to be 7 seconds long just because I have too much to say. Mm-hmm. And I think everything I have to say is important. And I think if you have enough important things to say, people will continue listening because they're engaged.
That's an interesting mm-hmm. point, that you have too much or so much to say. So how do you whittle that down and make it concise?
Fiona?
I was asking the one who had too much to say.
I would whittle it down by really focusing on body language, making sure that what I'm saying is still concise. You can have a lot to say, but still be concise. Mm-hmm. Reading body language, just figure out if your audience, the person you're talking to, that CEO, that executive, figuring out if they're even engaged. Mm-hmm. And then going from there, making that left turn, that right turn in the conversation. Mm-hmm. If you can tell in their eyes they only have 5 more seconds, cut to the chase.
And to that point about the body language that she just mentioned, how do you use body language short of blocking the elevator door? How do you use body language to determine whether you're going to get 5 more seconds or 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think that using or recognizing social cues is so important. And it's a bigger topic around emotional intelligence that you're not always able to pick up on in an elevator ride. But you can tell when somebody looks distressed or like they just don't want to be bothered at that point. And you have to make the determination, am I really going to push this person in this moment? But I think when you see an opening, perhaps, you know, when they look up to speak, when you get in the elevator, or if they're just staring at the wall and you say something like, you know, man, weather sure is nice outside, and that's your opening, whatever it is. But I think you do have to pay attention. Is their body, are their arms folded? Are they intensely looking at their phone? Are they sweating and looking stressed out? And if it's any of those scenarios, I would say that's maybe I should just leave them alone today.
Yeah, back off. Yeah. Because you don't want to blow your chances of really providing the pitch that could change your client's life, your life, their life, or really impact their projects.
And I think, too, the other thing is this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, or do you work in the building with this person and you know you may run into him again? So, like, you know, if this is just like, okay, I am never going to see Beyonce again, and I need to pitch this single right here, maybe you're going to do it, regardless of if she's looking mad or not. But if it's the VP in your company and you see them every other week, you're probably going to get another chance.
And that ties into knowing your demographic, knowing mm-hmm. when and where you're going to see this person again.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about elevator pitches and other social situations as you try to advance your career and your personal brand. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Katrina, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling. I was trying to find out what if you didn't know that you were selected or in a movie or a plan that they had created and said you were in, and you wasn't aware of, then what?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
How would you know to meet this important person, or how would you know how to do this important job that they provided for you that you wasn't even aware of.
I don't understand your question, Katrina. Because what we are talking about is, we're talking about if you happen upon someone that you would want to make a pitch related to your career that you perhaps want to work with or for that person. That's what we're specifically talking about. Not someone necessarily that you already work for. We're talking about trying to make those career connections. So that may not necessarily be connected to the question that you are asking, but if you can formulate it again, give us a call back. Let me go to Fiona calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Fiona. Yeah, I knew there was going to be something there. Fiona, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the elevator pitch, that it should include three important components. The first one about yourself, the second one about the person who's in the elevator. So say something that's intriguing that would get their attention. And then the third quickly should be about us. So what
us?
We could do together. Yes.
Oh, I see. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Your thoughts about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I agree with that partly. I think that the component about the person actually provides a different type of opportunity that I was going to bring up, and that's the opportunity around questions. I think that so many times we want to hear ourselves talk, and as quickly as you can say, hey, here's what I'm focused on, and then ask the person more questions so that you can then either connect with them to pitch them at a more extensive time frame later on, then that would be great. So I think talking about them can be risky in a one-off thing because you don't really know anything about them. But I do think that providing the opportunity to ask them questions and learn more could absolutely be beneficial.
I need to take a break. Thank you so much, Fiona. I need to take a break. And we are going to continue this conversation, and we're also going to talk about social situations, networking versus socializing for the benefit of your career. Is there a difference? I suspect that there may very well be. But we are taking your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The doctors are in, so you definitely want to hear from them. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We will continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're going to give you tips on how to put your best face forward with an elevator pitch and other social situations. My guests are Fiona Crystal, founder and CEO of Digital Dash PR, and Jacqueline Baker, a modern etiquette expert. Give us a call. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let me go to Tasha. Not yet. Well, Tasha, sit still. We'll be with you in just a hot second. Okay. A couple of years ago, or probably over the past 10 years, there was a big issue regarding networking events. Everybody was holding, you know, network events, no matter what kind they were, whether it was sipping network, painting sipping, or, you know, drinking network and shake hands and pass out cards, speed dating networking and the whole bit. I would argue that trend has ended, and now we are seeing people still trying to do networking, but through socialization. Is there a difference between the networking as we traditionally know it, Fiona, and more socialization?
Yes, but I really think it depends on what industry you're in.
How? What do you mean by that?
So if you're in the entertainment industry, you can mix networking and socializing in the same space.
How?
You can be at an event, and you can meet someone you don't know, and they may have food, drinks. You may be sitting down eating something, and someone comes up to you, and all of a sudden you're socializing at a networking event.
But give me some specifics about how you do that, because when you are sitting in an event, for example, and you're sitting at a table where there are eight of you at a table that is, they're always built for six. And so you are sitting around and you don't know anyone. You don't know what they do. You don't know what their interests are. How do you socialize with the aim of networking when you don't know the people that you're interacting with, or even more so, that you get seated at a table where everybody knows everybody else, but you're the odd man or odd woman out?
I usually start by either commenting on or providing a compliment, commenting on a commonality in the room, like how amazing the food is, how delicious the beverages are, or talking about a trending event or a trending topic.
Okay. And then the person next to you goes, mm-hmm. This is the reason that I'm making this so difficult, because it is difficult. Because you have some people who are career-minded, and yet they may be introverted. They may not talk for a living. They may not be effervescent. They may not be expressive.
And to that point, I would say give them space. If they're an introvert and they may not want to talk in that moment, I would give them space
and
circle back around.
But what if you're the introvert? For those who don't do that well, how do you get people to break out of their own skin and to become more engaging?
If you're an introvert, I would say come prepared to any social setting. Come prepared with a list of topics that you're comfortable discussing that make you feel comfortable and that you have tested out. You've prepared these, you've tested them out on other people, friends and family, and you know that they provide engaging conversations.
How about those cowboys? right here in Washington. Yeah, well, you'll get that. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
I think, too, that the introvert thing is a very interesting conversation, because extroverts have a hard time understanding how introverts are introverts, or introverts mm-hmm. have a hard time understanding how extroverts are just all in your face all the time. And so going back to one thing that I mentioned earlier is so important. I find myself being in the middle. Like I'm not an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an ambivert. When I'm on, same. I'm on. When I'm off, I'm off. And I suspect that you're the same way, Harold. Like, you know, when you have to be on, you're on. But when you're off, you're like, I just need a break.
No, if I'm off, I'm not there.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
what it is. Yeah,
but you know how to make it work when you need to. But I think that introverts, just knowing that you need your space, give yourself some goals when you feel like, because something is 90 minutes, that you need to stick around for 90 minutes. Say, I want to meet five people. I want to have five meaningful conversations, and then give yourself permission to leave. Like, don't feel like you need to stick around, like, almost miserable, not having fun, sitting in the corner, drinking stuff you don't really want to drink. Just give yourself some goals and then get out of there.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to, I think it's Tasia. Tasia.
Yeah, you're right. Tasia, yeah, you're right. I was just listening to the conversation, and I'm that person where when I'm an introvert, it's great. I mean, when I'm an extrovert, it's great. But when I'm an introvert and I'm at a networking event, it's hard for me mm-hmm. to break through. Sometimes I get in my head too much, and it's a thing where, okay, getting there is half the battle, right? But once you get there, it's hard to make these connections and to have these conversations when people in the room already know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if, I don't want to say it's a cliquish, but these individuals are already familiar with each other. So what tips do you have for kind of being like the newbie in a situation like that and still trying to break through the ice, if that makes sense, to get to know other people in this networking organization?
I think that is such a good question, because I think most of us have been there where you're like, man, this is all the cool kids are here. They're real clicked up and I don't know how to break into it. I think the first thing is that put on your game face, like know that you are going in there for business and know that you're going to have to say, you know, Tasia, be brave. Like, walk up to a group and say, hey, I am Tasia. I am here for whatever reason you're there for, and start talking to them. Like, don't assume that people are going to break out of their cluster that they already created to come over to you. Like, literally remember what you came there for. Don't waste your time. Go up and introduce yourself to people. Don't just wait for the magic to happen. Make the magic happen.
So, but what do you do? You don't have to raise your hand. You can just jump right in. We are not in fourth grade. see, that's the one. So you're going to walk up to the crowd
and raise your hand.
And see, it would be me, and I would say, would you like a bathroom pass? Because, no, go right ahead.
No,
right.
So what I was going to say, the important thing that I was going to say is make sure when you go to these events, you go prepared, like I said prior. But I also would encourage you to take a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Take someone that makes you feel comfortable. Take someone that makes you feel like they're your security blanket, because that can help you have more confidence and be more encouraged to walk up to people you don't know.
But Tasia said something also that I thought was important. She talked about cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington has a reputation for being very, very cliquish. And to walk up to a group of people who already appear to know each other, depending on the environment, she may find that, depending on what you say, she may find that they may turn around and look at you or look at her and say, who are you? This is a private conversation within a public space. So, you know, how do you deal with that?
I think what's interesting is I experienced that when I moved from Detroit 6 years ago. And
well, that explains it.
I don't know. Whatever it explains, it's a good explanation. And when I found that, you know, we are super social folks. And when we moved here, we found that you get that question like, well, where do you work? What do you do? Where'd you go? Like, those are those questions you get off rip that aren't, they don't have anything to do with who I am as a person. Just people just sizing you up. And I think that it is still worth the effort of challenging yourself to walk up to people and introduce yourself. But I think you do have to sometimes say, this tribe is not for me. Like, this group isn't for me. And to opt out when it doesn't work. But I do think that there have been times when I have been brave and broke those circles and now have great relationships that I still have here. But every tribe isn't for you.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Tasia, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from Manassas, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hey, going back to the elevator conversation that you were having, first of all, I think a person needs to do their homework first and know who you're talking to. And if I was on the elevator with him, I step up to him, I introduce myself, reach out to shake his or her hand, take about 5 seconds, tell them what their company does, what I can offer them. And then if that elevator door rings, I get off the elevator with them and walk them down the hall and continue my conversation, and then further ask them, is there someone in their group that I can contact, you know, regarding this opportunity they potentially may have, and how I'm an asset for their company?
You know what I like about what Kevin says? Mm-hmm. All they can say is no.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be a go-getter. And as far as the introverted and extroverted person, I think if you're introverted and you're not that, you know, outwardly going, you probably will miss that opportunity. But like I say, you got to do your homework first. Know who you're talking to. You got to step out of your shell and go walk them to that office and ask them if they got a secretary, a business card, or somebody they can talk to that's in their group. I understand you have a meeting. But, you know, this is what I have to offer you. I think I can be a good asset to your company.
And to that, and to the other point, back to the elevator pitch, if you find yourself on the elevator or in this 30-second situation with the CEO of whomever, if you know who that person is when they walk in,
then you know who that mm-hmm. person is. Mm-hmm. So you, there's only the thing that you need to be up on is what you're going to say, but you already know that if it's, like I said, if it's Facebook and it's Mark Zuckerberg, then you don't have to say, who is that? That's mm-hmm. somebody that, because you know.
And sometimes, too, yeah. I would say walking someone to their door or to their office might be too invasive. So you might want to actually take the step of closing the deal before they get off the elevator or as they're walking off the elevator.
Kevin, thank you so much for sharing with us. So 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's the thing. Jacqueline mentioned this, and this is one of my little Washington pet peeves, and I may be an outlier in this regard. People often say, and you suggested this also, we are talking about career, and this isn't church.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave pushback on somebody asking, where do you work and what you do? Well, isn't that the point?
Depends. So I think at the root of it all, we are still humans, period. And just because you're out networking doesn't mean that you love what you do at the current, and you want to talk about what you do. I instead take a completely different path and say, you know, hey, I'm curious about what you're passionate about. I'm curious about, you know, what you're into in DC, because maybe they're at this networking event and they're at the networking event to find a different job, but the current job that they're at, they hate. And I will say this, it's all contextual. Like if I'm in PR, for example, and I'm at a PR conference, clearly we're going to be talking about what we do in various PR aspects. But if we're just at a general networking event of what, let's say if we're at a wine and cheese networking event, I'm probably not going to go straight to, hey, where do you work? Because
yeah, I know, and I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that during the course of the conversation, and I do mean during the short course,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with asking somebody what they do.
And I agree that, but I would not start the conversation out there. I
do ask what people do. I think that's all. I've also learned that's a very DC thing to do. I don't think it's a DC thing.
I think it is. And just because I'm a DC person, but I. I've lived all over the country. I don't think it's a DC thing, and this is, you know, my thing. If I ask you what you do, if you, assuming that you do something, okay,
assuming
that's right, okay. Well, then either way, you're going to have an answer.
Well, I would say living on the West Coast, the question that I got primarily was, "Tell me more about yourself," or who are you, as opposed to what do you do? And
yeah,
that's the first question, which is off-putting.
But for the tree huggers of the world,
no,
that
we don't do that here.
That's why we don't talk about it because we don't do that here.
No, we don't. No, I'm saying we don't do that. If somebody asks me, tell me about yourself. What are you into? What is this, a date? No. What do you do?
The CEO says,
so what do you do?
Of course, you're going to go ahead and tell
them.
So
what's the difference?
Because it's not a networking event.
No, Errol.
And you know
I would say the difference is his level of power, his level of reach
yeah.
is different.
And you know why this question is easy for you? Because you love what you do.
But understand that there was a time that there have been breaks when I wasn't doing these kinds of things. And there have been times when I was not the pitcher, I was the pitchy.
Sure.
Right.
And my question was, what do you do? And I guess maybe that has something to do with the very nature of what I do.
Probably.
But if you come up to me, you know, when I was in television and you come up to me and you said, you know, you want to be a reporter, well, what are you doing now?
Well, why not? Why lead with what do you do versus tell me more about yourself?
Mm-mm. Like, are you going to go straight for it? Like, everybody that you meet.
Go for the jugular?
You go straight for what do you do?
It comes out very shark-like if you do that.
Your first question is, what do you do?
And if you can't handle it, then you don't need to be in the water. I need to take a break. We'll be back in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lewis from D.C., we're going to talk to you next.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about elevator pitches and networking to advance your career. So before the break, we were talking about questioning someone about, you know, their occupation. And I think we should probably clarify.
Yes.
clarify. In a networking situation, I believe that asking someone what they do is not offensive because everybody's there networking, trying to climb. But if you are in a social situation, no, I don't think you should ask whether it's the church fish fry or some other kind of purely social. No, I'm not suggesting that.
I agree. I agree with you. To clarify, I still don't believe that you should lead with, hey, I'm Jacqueline M. Baker. What do you do? I believe that what you do sort of kind of wiggles up in there. But I'll say at social settings, you know, one thing that sort of kind of burns me up, if you don't mind me going down this path, at social events is when people make it more businessy than it needs to be. Like, I think, you know, when you're at social settings, like, for example, last weekend, I was back home in Detroit, and I was celebrating my 20-year reunion from Cass Technical High School, class of 99. And it was fantastic. But and honestly, the whole
weekend, Cass Tech, you know, we
were partying. We had a good time. But you could see instances where people sometimes were trying to make some business settings where it was like, we're just partying. Like, I think there are nuggets you can drop in social settings so that people can follow up. But when you make things too businessy and we're just here to party, I think you rub people the wrong way.
Right. And I still say lead with wanting to get to know someone more, because that'll come off more authentic and that'll build a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then too,
No, I'm listening.
Please, we went ahead and already put out there that I'm from the West Coast, you're from Detroit.
Yeah.
We don't think it's natural to start out with what do you do?
Yeah.
You, however, Howard, or how?
Harold, that's all right. Harold and Howard, please go right ahead.
Harold. You feel that it's appropriate to do that, but I think you never know who you're talking to. They think is natural.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, it's not a hard fast rule. But what I'm saying is that network events, when you're talking to someone, yeah, you may introduce yourself or what have you. It's a network event. So yeah. So what do you do? You know, I mean, that's, you know, and I think that whether it's a 30-second pitch or the networking event, but when you're talking about socializing, even if it's a socializing business, no. Yeah, you can take a softer approach. And sometimes it may not be, the best way to approach it. Because, I mean, the reality is, you know, networking and even some of the social events, everybody wants something.
They do.
Exactly.
But I still think at the root of it all, we are people.
Which
we
is
are
why
humans.
You should lead with, tell me more about yourself.
Yeah,
make it more personable. I want to get to know you as a person, not just for what you can do for me.
Harold doesn't agree with us, girl.
He doesn't. He doesn't. I can see it in his eyes.
See it in his pupils.
Right.
See it.
No, moving on.
You're outnumbered today in your studio.
Yeah, I tell you. How important is listening, and what should you listen for?
So I'll start, although I'll say out the gate, I am still refining my listening skills. I know that I'm not the greatest listener because I'm an actioner. And as soon as I hear that somebody wants to do something or wants to accomplish something, I'm immediately going into, well, how do we do it? And I stop listening. But I think listening is important because most of us listen to respond, not listen to understand. And I know that I struggle in that area because I'm just such an action taker. But I think listening is still critical.
Yeah, and I would say get to your point and then pause. Give a pause so that people can actually chime in and have provide a response or ask questions.
So this is what I think about that. To the point of getting to know who you are, one of the things that I think is really important, and correct me if I'm wrong, in an attempt to connect, and this is not a facade, or even necessarily a technique. I think it is, at least for me, it is genuine that you listen to find commonality.
Because when you, for example, you said that you were from Detroit. Okay. You went to Cass Tech. Okay. Long time ago. Yeah. I dated a wonderful woman who was from Detroit. She went to Cass Tech. So already I have a bond with you and I can talk to you about what she told me about Detroit. You're from Los Angeles.
The Bay Area.
Yeah, from the Bay Area. Now being from here, I don't know what that means.
Right.
And so I would ask, well, what does that mean? Because my trip to Los Angeles was in Santa Monica.
Very different.
Okay. Right. So immediately to me, where does that, my question for you to elicit a response to get you to talk about who you are is, well, how does the Bay Area compare to Santa Monica? How far away is that? And then I would, and then you would kind of, and then there's a conversation there. And then after you answer, then I say, so what do you do? No, I'm kidding.
You were waiting for that.
Oh, he was waiting. And we're anticipating, like, what's
right,
next?
Right.
But all jokes aside, that's what I mean by listening and creating an opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think the hard part for me and a lot of people like me is listening.
Oh, I like you.
Listening for the opening, but then not making it about you. Right. You know how sometimes people like just totally like steal the conversation. You're like, man, that's not even where I was going with this. And so like, you know, how do you make the connection between Cass and Cass, but then not make it all about your friend all of a sudden?
Exactly.
But I think like to your point, asking open-ended questions is best. Mm-hmm. Don't ask questions that are going to lead to a yes or a no.
Sure.
Yeah. Final thoughts about, we talked about what you should do. What should you not do? Oh, we know, don't block the elevator door.
Right.
Don't walk the CEO to the office past, the executive assistant. But give me a couple of quick absolute don't do's.
I would say my top don't do still goes back to time. And while I believe in being bold and taking risks and stepping outside your comfort zone, I still believe that you must go back to the concept, the idea, the fact that attention spans are short. And when you start to disrespect somebody's time, something that none of us can ever borrow, steal, cheat, get back, then you lose that person's respect. And so I think time is critical.
Fiona.
I would say make sure you know your demographic, who you're talking to. And then make sure that you are able to convey your value to them.
There you go, Fiona Crystal, Jacqueline Baker. Thank you both for talking to us. And I hope that someone has been able to pick up something from this. Who knows? We could be changing careers and lives and the whole bit. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, August 16th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.